Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
One of the great state tournaments in the country gets started tomorrow in St. Paul at the Exo Energy Center. The State Boys Hockey Tournament gets started at 11 a.m. and 1 a.m. Monticello and Waro. Then it's Mankato East Loyola against Matamidi at 1 o'clock. And then at 6, number one seed Hermantown takes on New Prague. And in the nightcap, Minneapolis battles Alexandria, scheduled to start at 8 o'clock. And the head coach, Minneapolis, Joe Dziedzic, joins us on the line. And Joe, congrats on a great season. It's got to be really fun for everybody to be getting ready for the tourney tomorrow night.
Well, thanks, Off. Thanks for having me on. It's been a fun week. Our boys are super excited to play, and we just got done having a team dinner and did some video, and now we're hopefully going to get some sleep tonight and be ready for tomorrow.
Yeah, and that might not be easy, thinking about XL Energy Center, television, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I think it's sinking in, and the boys, you know, some of them have done the hair and have done the state hockey look, as they call it, so they're chomping at the bit to get on the ice tomorrow night, and it's going to be just a super week, and hopefully we can show up and play well.
Now, Joe, how long have you been at the helm of Minneapolis hockey?
This is my 10th year.
Wow. And I saw a piece on you and your team, and you know it's been a work in progress. There's no doubt about it. And did you feel like going into this season, it's like, hey, we really got a chance to do something this year?
You know what? We did. Like, we knew this was the best team that we've had since I've been here 10 years, and we knew we had some talent. We had some skilled players. We had kids that were hockey players, not just, you know, who played hockey, and there's a big difference. But I think, you know, like I've said before, it was something where we thought we had the talent, we thought we had the depth, but going out and doing it is a whole different thing. You got to have the right pieces fall, you know, together, the right chemistry, and it all came together. And we've got a unique situation where kids are coming from different schools, and our chemistry has been great. The love in the room, they're kind of like a big family in there, you know, like I said, can't be more proud of our guys. We're just been a lot of fun to coach.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you got kids coming from all over the cities, you know, trying to build that team is easy because, you know, literally they're coming in from all over and don't see each other at school, or some do, some don't. Has that been a big challenge over the years, Joe?
You know, it's gotten better, I think, over time. I think a lot of these kids have played together in youth teams growing up, but then, again, it's just not the same when you're not with somebody in school all day long with most programs, where they're seeing each other in school, in the classroom, yep, at gym, at lunch. Here, a lot of the guys see each other for the first time at 4 o'clock when we're pulling into the rink. So it took a little bit of adjustments over the years, but I think now it's just kind of like what they know, and they're kind of getting used to it, and it doesn't seem to be a big deal anymore.
And for a coach, really in any school or situation, it's getting the young kids excited where, hey, they're in middle school and it's like, you know, their dream is playing for the high school team and having a chance to play in a state tournament. You know, in a city with so many high schools and potentially so many different feeder programs and situations, building that excitement under the youth is, or among the youth, has got to be a huge challenge.
Yeah, it's a big challenge, but I'll tell you what, after our section win against Delano, we've had a bunch of support where people are calling up and asking about tickets, trying to buy merchandise, trying to buy state tournament-type sweatshirts and things, and our youth program has been just, you know, been really good about being supportive, and everybody's kind of jumping on the bandwagon, and that's great. We'll make room for them.
Yeah, Joe Dietzig joining us. Win 20-plus games this season. And, you know, I look up and down your schedule. I was supposed to see you guys call a game on cable TV at Osseo. That didn't happen, and then it was rescheduled. But, you know, you've played 1A schools. You've played 2A schools. You played a pretty solid schedule this year.
Yeah, we did. We lost in overtime to Holy Angels. That was a great game over the winter break. It was a game we were up 3-2. We lost 4-3. That was a great game. We lost to Gentry Academy in overtime, 8-7. It's probably one of the funnest high school games I've been involved in as a player or a coach to watch that game. The lead changed back and forth probably four times. We had some stinkers along the way. We had a bad loss against Brack, but for the most part, we've been in most every game, and we found ways to win. And that's something that, as a coach, you can appreciate, because I've been on the other side where I've had teams where, you know, we find ways to lose, and that's no fun. And this year, just for some reason, the confidence was there, and we found ways to win, and that really made a big difference in our program.
So tomorrow night, puck drops about 24 hours from now. So what's the plan tomorrow? How early are you going to get to the rink and get ready for that one with Alexandria?
Well, we played them earlier in the season. We beat them at 4-2 in December. And, you know, that was a couple months ago. And so they're going to be a different team. They'll be a better team. We're going to be a better team. But, you know, I just remember they have a couple of players that had some really good skill, had a good goalie. I just tell our guys, you know, nothing changes. Just because we're at the XL, we still got to play the way we played all year. You know, play hard, you know, move the puck, play with speed. We can play physical. And if we do those type of things, I like our chances.
Yeah, and you've got top-end goal scoring, Jack Hansen. He's had quite a year.
He's had a great year. He was named the third-team All-Metro. Had over 50 points. He's probably been our MVP as a skater. Our goalie's been really good, too. Alex Lamont, he could be. I think those two guys are probably our team MVPs. But there's been other guys, too, that found ways to pitch in. We've had solid play on our defense. I think our defense might be the strength of our team. But, it'll be an exciting night. We're definitely chopping at the bit to get her going and hopefully get that first win under our belt.
Yeah, and what about the coaching staff? You had some guys that have been with you along the way for the whole 10-year run. I know the assistant coaches, they put in a ton of work and maybe don't get a lot of credit along the way.
Well, that's right. They sure don't get a lot of the credit, but they do a lot of the work. So I've had Dave Shute, who's been off and on with me for probably 4 or 5 years. Another assistant coach, Lucas Coles, who's been with me now for 2 years. But I've had some guys, even had Tom Chorsky for a year way back when, about 9 years ago. But, you know, like coaching, people aren't, you know, you don't get into coaching for the money, that's for sure. But it's building relationships and giving back to the players and to the game.
Yeah, and you got a great home rink. Parade's outstanding.
You know, when that place gets full, there's not too many better rinks. You know, I've thinking back over the years, we've had some games there where it seemed like the only people were there were a couple of mom and dads. And then this year we've had a few games where we packed the house pretty good. So it's an exciting place to play when there's people there.
Yeah, well, Joe, it really a great story. Minneapolis back in the tourney. You play Alexandria tomorrow night in the nightcap. Opening day for 1A, 2A goes on Saturday. Thanks for the time.
All right, thanks, Heath.
All right, there he is, Joe Dietzig, once again, head coach Minneapolis. They're back in the tournament. It's been a long time since a Minneapolis school has been in the state tournament. And here we go. And once again, the bracket again tomorrow for the 1A. It gets started at 11 a.m. All the games on Channel 45. Monticello and War Road at 11 a.m. Mankato East Cloyola takes on Matamidi around 1 o'clock. New Prague and number one Hermantown at 6. And then Alexandria and Minneapolis go in the nightcap. And favorites would be War Road, Montevideo, or Matamidi early, Hermantown and Minneapolis. I've got them as a favorite over Alexandria tomorrow night based on their head-to-head. And they'll play their semifinals on Friday afternoon. And then, of course, championship Saturday at the X. Coming up, we're going to talk two-way hockey. That's get started on Thursday. And Matt Funk, head coach, Creighton-Durham Hall. They open the two-way tournament on Thursday as the number two overall seed. As a result, they're going to play in the afternoon. We'll talk about Creighton-Durham Hall with a team from St. Paul in the tourney. And, of course, St. Paul, the home of the tournament, the XL Energy Center. The Wild in action tonight against the Rangers. By the way, Timberwolves are idle. They get Oklahoma City tomorrow night at Target Center. Our coverage begins at 6:30 with Cal Soderquist, Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. And don't forget, Henry Lake following the game, Timberwolves tonight. Your calls, your attacks. The Timberwolves are rolling right now. Cat playing at an extremely high level. Cat's just been phenomenal. It is 8:15 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. 8:19 here at News Talk, K3LWCCO, Timberwolves tomorrow night against OKC there in Orlando on Friday night. That means Mike Max back in the big chair here on Sports to the Max on Thursday night between 6:30 and 9:30. We've had Bob Nightingale from USA Today and Odyssey Sports Insider, and the latest from Bob. MLB's written proposal has been submitted to the union. Everything remains fluid as they negotiate deep into the night. Luxury tax, minimum salary, pre-arbitration pool, etc., etc. So they continue to meet. No word on a deal, but the good news is they continue to meet. Good news is boys state tournament, the hockey tournament, gets started tomorrow with 1A, 2A on Thursday. And the number one seed, Hillmurray, plays at 6 against Lakeville South. In the opener, number two, Creighton-Durham Hall against Prior Lake. Then it's number three, Maple Grove against Edina around 1 o'clock. The nightcap is number four, Andover, number five, Moorhead in the 2A tournament on Thursday. And the head coach from the number two seed, Creighton-Durham Hall, Matt Funk, joins us on the line. And Matt, good to visit with you, and congrats on a great season.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Let's talk about getting to the tournament. A lot of pressure in those section playoffs and that section final. It's got to be a relief to have that over and get ready for the tourney on Thursday.
Yeah, we were talking about this game for the last couple of years with losing in the section semis the last couple of years. So getting to the section final and then winning that game definitely took a stress off of our backs.
Yeah, and what a year for your team, 24-3-0 going into the tourney. You got to be proud of the kids.
I really am. You know, we played a really good schedule this year. We played some of the top, state's top teams. You know, we really delivered on a lot of our goals this year, which was, you know, number one, to win the conference championship, and then number two, to win the section championship. So we still got some goals ahead of us, but we're happy where we're at right now.
Yeah, and good news is you don't have to deal with cadets. They were able to get you twice this season, and you don't have to deal with them anymore.
Yeah, you know, we thought we'd get them one more time in the section playoffs to get a little bit of redemption. But, you know, I think hanging the banner is redemption enough.
Yeah, for sure, and being able to play at home in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center. You know, what a thrill. There's got to be a lot of excitement at school.
You know, it really is. And we've been talking about it all week. You know, there's something to being the hometown team, you know. Welcoming everybody into our hometown, St. Paul, and having the city of St. Paul behind us as well. So we're excited.
Yeah, and look at your team start up front. leading the way, Jake Fisher, Drew Fisher, both having phenomenal seasons.
Yeah, you know, they really are. Drew's a senior forward for us and has been playing with his little brother Jake, who's a junior, for the last 3 years on the varsity. And, you know, they have really something special on that line together. And then you match them up with our Energizer buddy, Luke McCarthy, a senior himself, that does a lot of the work in the corners for him and really completes a really good first line.
Yeah, and what's crazy is those three have combined for almost 150 points this season.
Yeah, you know, they really can go, and all three can score at times. So it's been really fun to watch. And you know, senior Luke McCarthy has been a really good rock for us this year and a really pleasant surprise, because the last couple of years we had Jake Sandrio, who's another really good forward, who's now on our second line. That adds a lot of depth there. So being able to split those three up and give us basically 1A and 1B has been a really big luxury for us this year.
As fans show up at the X on Thursday for the tourney, what about the blue line? Who are some guys to watch?
Yeah, we got some studs back there. Wouldn't be remiss to not talk about the decor. My assistants, Charlie Boscom and Brian Kilberg, would give me a lot of heat if I didn't. But, you know, junior Simon Hogue, number 8, senior number 6, Zach Sandrio. Both have played, you know, since 2 years ago, have been rocks for us back there. But we've got some, I would say, two guys that played for us last year, too, with Lucas Cernahaus and Colton Jameson, and then some newcomers with Joey Sylvester and Rory Smith that all will play, which is a luxury for us to have, to be able to play 60.
All right, now we got to get to the goalie.
Yeah.
What a year. You look at those numbers, they really stand out.
He's incredible. He's played in pretty much all of our games since his sophomore year. So he's got 60 wins for us as a varsity goaltender. His career save percentage is right around a 0.925. His goals against average is a 1.86. So, you know, I hear other names for the Frank Brimsek, but I'd be hard pressed to say that Marco doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where it's a game changer. And I've talked to, you know, hockey coaches for years, and when you have a goaltender that you can really lean on, even if the defense makes a mistake or there is a breakdown, that they are going to be able to make the big save. And you know, with the save percentage like that, you know, you can tell Marco can really make the big save.
Yeah, it's, you know, he does it on the rink, but like before the game, he's a calming presence. Like as a coach, when you walk into the locker room and you see a guy like that, that he doesn't look phased, doesn't look like any moment's too big, and then he can back it up on the ice. You have a calming presence where you know you have a good chance to win every game with Marco back there.
As you get ready for the tournament, what's the week been like? I know there's a lot of fanfare. You win the section, and then all of a sudden, you got the media responsibilities, and you got to get all that stuff put together. And then I suppose creating a routine and skating after school, et cetera, is a big part of getting ready for it.
Yeah, I was joking with my wife that I might need a new cell phone. For us, it's really about keeping the same routine. And I think you hit it right there. And we've had two really good practices this week. We had a really good practice Friday after the section final. This group knows what they have in front of them. And it's about keeping it as normal and as real as they're used to. You know, checking into the hotel and some of those things are going to come. But when we drop the puck on Thursday afternoon, we just got to be ready. And it's another game.
Yeah, and there is great confidence in the schedule, up and down your schedule all year. You played good teams, a lot of tournament teams, you know, familiar foes. That's got to be comforting, because the kids know, hey, we played a lot of these guys already.
Yep, it is. And you know, the thing about it, when you look at this tournament, it's a really deep field, and there's not going to be there's no advantage to being 1-2-3 seed. I mean, you have to play a really what I would call a top 10 team, top 8 team in any game that you play. So having confidence and having played these teams leading into the tournament will give us an advantage going in.
All right. Well, Matt, good to visit with you. Congrats on a great season, and good luck in the tourney starting on Thursday.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Go Raiders.
All right. There he is, Matt Funk, head coach, Creighton Durham Hall, the number 2 seed. They get Prior Lake in the opener at 11 a.m. They were one of the unseeded teams. And number 3, Maple Grove, takes Edina. Edina unseeded in this tournament. And the Hornets had been out of the top 10, but they are a perennial power. Kurt Giles does a great job year in and year out. The number 1, Hill Murray, takes on unseeded Lakeville South at 6 o'clock. Hill Murray beat White Bear in the section final there. They've had an outstanding season. And then I had it backwards. Moore had the number 4 and over the number 5. Should be a terrific nightcap. The Spuds take on the Huskies. And I really do agree that you look at this 2A tournament, you can say, well, you know, it's going to be one of these teams. I think you can make the case for any one of these teams getting to the semifinals and ultimately getting to the championship game on Saturday night at 7 o'clock in St. Paul. So the tourney is here, 1A on Wednesday and the 2A on Thursday. Just a great, great annual event. And a couple of weeks back, terrific girls tournament in St. Paul at the XL Energy Center. And War Road won the 1A title, and Andover prevailed in an absolute thriller, beating Minnetonka for the 2A championship. So hopefully that championship game Saturday night, we get some games as good as that in this boys' tournament coming up. 8:29 here at News Talk, 830-WCCO. Timberwolves back at it against Oklahoma City tomorrow night. Pregame 6:30, tip just after 7 o'clock with Alan Horton. Timberwolves are rolling right now. They demolished Portland last night. Timberwolves in good shape to make the playoffs. Question is, can they run down Denver or Dallas and get into the top 6 in the Western Conference? Boys State Hockey Tournament starting tomorrow with 1A. And then, of course, 2A on Thursday. Gopher men's hoops. They get Penn State at the Big Ten tournament tomorrow night in Indianapolis. So you're up to date on some of the headlines locally. Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. Russell Wilson traded from Seattle to Denver. What does that mean for Kirk Cousins? He could be on the move. We'll find out about that. NASCAR staying out west. They were in Vegas, put on a good show. Hendrick Carr is running up front. And now it's on to Phoenix, and Reed Spencer joins us from NASCAR Wire Service. Reed, good to visit with you.
Likewise, Steve. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good show at the Las Vegas, and this is becoming a big deal for NASCAR. I know they've been going to Vegas for a long time, but this is important for the city. It's important for the sport.
Oh, there's no question about it, and of course, Vegas is one of the destinations as far as NASCAR fans go, and you could see that reflected in the crowd that they had in the grandstands for Sunday's race when Alex Bowman out-dueled his teammate Kyle Larson for the win.
And Kyle Larson had some trouble early in this race and came back and darn near won it.
Yeah, he absolutely did, and that would have been two in a row for him, but you know, he chose the top on that last restart, and, you know, there are people who've been questioning that decision, although he had a good pusher behind him. But, you know, that gave Bowman the opportunity to stay even and clear him on the inside. And, you know, Bowman just did not give up over those final two laps and ended up getting Larson, you know, by a good couple car lengths at the line.
Reed Spencer joining us, NASCAR Wire Service, once again in Vegas. On to Phoenix next, another very popular stop on the circuit. They go there twice, of course, late in the year for the championship race. Reed, one thing I want to talk about, And it is all about the drivers and the cars. We've talked about this sport coming out of COVID-19 on a real upswing. And the television ratings are really showing it. I saw some numbers from a couple of weeks back, and you compare this to the NBA or the NHL or golf or whatever. NASCAR is doing very well. People are tuning in on television.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I was, I was looking at the ratings earlier tonight, and the race in Las Vegas actually outdrew the Duke Carolina basketball game, Mike Krzyzewski's final game in Cameron Indoor Stadium, which kind of surprised me a little bit. But the Las Vegas race drew a very substantial share, outdrew the Carolina game, outdrew the NBA, as you said, and. It definitely is on an upswing. I think that, at least from a fan's perspective, they are really liking what they're seeing with the new next-gen race car. It is much harder to drive. You see them spinning out of control just by pushing it a little bit over the edge, where last year's car, the Gen 6 car, had a lot more side force, a lot more stability, and you could actually catch it when the back started to step out on you. With these spins, once it starts to go, it goes in a hurry and snaps loose. And, you know, I think the drivers are going to take a while getting used to this. Obviously, I think these are growing pains with what you're seeing in the races so far. But you had 12 cautions in the Las Vegas race, too short of the racing record. You had a bunch at Fontana the week before. And, you know, that being the case, you know, they don't have a handle on the car yet, and they are definitely harder to drive, and I think that makes for more exciting racing.
Yeah, and showing off the skill of these drivers. And I also think another factor in all of this, and we've touched on this a little bit, is the emergence of new young stars, because there are a lot of big names that stepped away from the sport. I mean, the Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, there is a long list of great championship-level drivers that have stepped away. But now we're seeing the younger drivers. Chase Elliott leading the pack, very, very popular. But there are other young drivers around him, and I think fans are starting to warm up to these drivers and finding new favorites, if you will.
Oh, I think there's no question about that. I mean, we are undergoing a generational change of the guard as far as NASCAR is concerned. I mean, in addition to Johnson and Gordon and Stewart, in the next few years, you're going to see Kevin Harvick step away. Eric Almirola, who's 37 years old, is leaving the sport at the end of this year. I think at some point you're going to see Denny Hamlin get out of the driver's seat and take more of an ownership role with 2311 Racing, you know, more full-time in that regard. You're absolutely right. And then you had 23-year-old Austin Cindric win the Daytona 500 in just his eighth NASCAR Cup Series race. So, and you've got Harrison Burton, who's had a rough start to the season, but he's another young driver who's going to be good. I think you've got a lot of young kids that are coming up. Ross Chastain, although he isn't that young, is a relatively new face at the front of the field, and he was another guy that was in position to win the Las Vegas race had things gone right for him. So you definitely have new faces at the front of the field, and I think the car makes a difference in that as well, because it has equalized the territory to some degree between the haves and the have-nots.
And on to Phoenix, I mentioned that up next. And Phoenix is another very popular spot. And this has to be a great sign for the sport, because the clash at the Coliseum went over very well. The return to Fontana and really good crowds there. We already talked about Vegas. And Phoenix is, you know, another big spot for NASCAR fans because, you know, this early season show, a lot of people want to get out of the cold and head for Phoenix, and why not? The weather is always lovely. And, of course, it's the home of the championship race, and it is a shorter track, and that makes for exciting racing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to see some pretty interesting racing and pretty out of control racing at Phoenix, you know, over the weekend, because, you know, it's a flat, relatively slick track. And, you know, that being the case, I think it'll be an interesting race. It's also one where, you know, I think you could see a surprise winner come to the front here as well. You know, Kevin Harvick has dominated that track traditionally, but since they flipped it and turned the track around, put the start finish line over in what you know, what used to be the you know, turn 1-2, and now it's in 3-4. You know, he hasn't had the nomination that he's had, and of course, last year didn't have the wins that he had the year before. So, you know, I think it's pretty wide open at Phoenix, and I think we're going to see some great racing there.
Yeah, it should be a great week, but the signs pointing in the right direction, and I've been a fan of the sport for a long time, and there were some tough times, but all things point to, you know, another big year for NASCAR. The fans are turning out. That's good to see. And I think there's a fair amount of cabin fever playing into it, Reed, where people maybe haven't been going to the track and want to get out of the house. And hopefully we're going to see more RVs and more folks making a weekend out of it.
No doubt about it. I mean, the COVID cabin fever certainly has played a part, I think, in attendance at a lot of different events, whether it's concerts or professional sports. And I think it certainly has benefited NASCAR, because people have been anxious to get out, get back to races, get back to grandstands that are full. And you've certainly seen that in the first few weeks of the NASCAR season. This time, starting with the clash at the Coliseum, which I think really set the perfect note for the kickoff race for the season, with a younger crowd, you know, college students at right there off the USC campus. And, you know, that sort of set the tone for what was to come. Then you had, as it's said, 23-year-old winning the Daytona 500 in Austin Cindric. And, you know, I think things have just snowballed ever since then. And I think NASCAR's got great momentum going into Phoenix, and they don't have an off week until June.
So here we go. Well, it keeps you busy. It keeps you out of trouble, right, Reed?
Absolutely right.
All right. Well, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Absolutely, Steve. Good to be with you.
All right, there he is, Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. On to Phoenix they go, but it is good to see. It's an incredible sport, and it's one of those things where you can't really fully appreciate it until you see a show in person, and it is extraordinary. Just great live. So get to a track. Check it out sometime if you're able. 14 minutes now in front of 9 o'clock here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. Players and owners continue to meet. We haven't seen the second week of games in the regular season canceled yet. Today was the deadline, so they are still meeting. We don't have a deal, but we're keeping an eye on that. Aaron Rodgers will stay in Green Bay, amounting to 4 years, $200 million, more than $150 million guaranteed. Devontae Adams will get the franchise tag. Russell Wilson on the move from Seattle to Denver for a ton of picks. Denver going all in next season. Just a ton going on in sports. Boys State Hockey Tournament gets started tomorrow. Timberwolves idol. They get Oklahoma City, another bad team that they should mop up on. Anthony Edwards, will he play tomorrow night? Maybe. D'Angelo Russell, we don't know. Carl Anthony Towns has been superb for the Timberwolves in this latest surge. One thing I wanted to bring up, Chris Tubbs, was something that came from Lindsey Peterson. And he oversees the newsroom, and he's been around a long time. And he put something in kind of a rundown of what's happening in the newsroom and what's happening locally news-wise. And it's really a great thing. We call it internally the sheet. And at
great,
the top,
great name, by the way, the sheet.
Yeah, it's really good.
Basic, simple, clean.
But here's what Lindsay put at the top. 2 years since the pandemic, we are exactly 1 week from today. 1 week from today, since we were shut down by the COVID-19 pandemic. If you remember, we did a celebration for Sid Hartman's 100th birthday on March 15th. I was a small part of that. Mm-hmm. Dave Mona was in. Chad was in. I got to do an hour that day, I think. It really was an honor to be a part of it.
Yeah, I remember that day. It was a lot of work, but it was fun. I mean,
it was a huge day.
Yeah.
The next day we went remote. The governor closed things down. And what's so amazing about that, and I remember it well, that was the last time I was in studio, period, was for Sid's event.
Wow.
And after that, they sent some of us to do shows from the transmitter site out in Coon Rapids. And then after that, they sent us all home. And obviously, the world's changed. Obviously, a lot of people have worked remote and so on and so forth. But it's hard to believe. 2 years, it's crazy.
Yeah, it seems like it should be so much longer than that because we've gotten accustomed to this, right? I mean, it was almost to the point where you see people in person and you're like, I mean, there were times, Steve, where you could only have one person in studio and you had to keep your distance, always wearing a mask.
Oh, for sure.
You know, doing everything that you could. And I appreciate the company taking all the extra precautions to keep us safe. I mean, they purposely had the host and the talent could not come to the studio. They were not allowed to be in the building. And I remember just having to, you're learning all this stuff on the fly. And I was fortunate that when I was in Houston, that a lot of us worked with the Comrexes and, you know, we weren't in the same physical location as our hosts. So, from that perspective, I kind of had an idea of, okay, this is how we have to handle it. But it's now become the norm, right? I mean, you know, when you're in, I know exactly where you're going to be. I know how you're going to do it. I know what I have to do on my end and how we coordinate it. And I think we've adapted so much as a society and as a business that I got to give us credit because, I mean, we're doing things now that I don't even think we thought were even possible 2 years ago.
Yeah, it is extraordinary what technology has made possible. But it just, I can't believe it's been 2 years.
The world has changed so much in 2 years.
You know, in celebrating Sid's 100th birthday and Sid's no longer with us. And it's just crazy to think in those terms that it's been 2 years. Hey, a big thanks to everybody who is a part of the show tonight. Always an honor to sit in for Mike Max or Henry Lake. Henry's coming up on Lake Night. I have a feeling I'm going to go out on a limb here and say Henry's got something to say about Aaron Rodgers re-upping in Green Bay and Russell Wilson moving from Seattle to Denver and what that could mean for Kirk Cousins. I'm just going out on a limb here that Henry's got something to say about that. Probably talk some Timberwolves. They're rolling right now. Blew out Portland last night. That was just ridiculous. And a little later, probably recap one on in St. Paul between the Wild and the Rangers. That's all coming up, Henry Lake and Lake Night. Big thanks to Chris Tubbs and all the folks that stop by on the program tonight. I really do appreciate everybody who was a part of the show. We had that state tournament preview tonight here on the program. Representative Zach Stevenson, DFL Coon Rapids, about the sports gambling bill. Joe Dietzick, Minneapolis, Matt Funk, Creighton, Durham Hall, Reed Spencer, NASCAR Wire Service. The news and Henry on the way.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.